Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. Connecticut looking to become the first back-to-back champion in men's college basketball for the first time in 30 years. Purdue, led by the 7'4" phenom Zach Edey, trying to avenge years of postseason heartbreak. Who will come out as champion? Well, BetOnline Sportsbook has you covered with all the odds, props, promos, and parlays for the championship game. Use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, and you can get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the link in the description to this episode. BetOnline, where the game starts. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night, however and whenever you may be listening, thank you for stopping on into another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy podcast, live on the Bleav Podcast Network. Except it isn't live because it is, as always, a podcast. And podcasts aren't live. It's the whole purpose of this podcast thing. You can listen however and whenever it is that you may be choosing. And we greatly, greatly appreciate that you have decided to stop in however and whenever it is you may be listening. Welcome to Championship Sunday, everybody. I am so freaking stoked that we can throw on the microphones and watch as Iowa and South Carolina battle it out for the Women's March Madness Championship game. It's a Take It Easy podcast watch party. We are stoked to be here. Currently, as we throw on these microphones for the first time, it is the end of the first quarter. Iowa finds themselves up by 7 points, 27 to 20. But good news for South Carolina is that their 20 points puts them up by 2 at the end of the first quarter against Caitlin Clark by herself. Just stupid good. Caitlin Clark had 18 first quarter points. She hit 11 points in a row at one point for Iowa. 5 of them were free throws, granted, but she hit 11 straight points, 3 3-pointers, 18 total points in the first quarter. She pulled up on one of them from damn near half court, which I know Caitlin Clark does that all the time, and Caitlin Clark does awesome things like that, and it's just kind of a part of the... It's part of the story with Caitlin Clark, which, speaking of stories about Caitlin Clark, Wright Thompson, who's like the best profile writer that ESPN has, spent a year traveling around to meet Caitlin Clark and her teammates and her brothers, and he had conversations with parents and assistant coaches, went back through Caitlin Clark's high school years, which interestingly were the same high school years that I was in high school, which sounds weird and interesting to think about, but the whole story was super interesting, and it gave this like 10,000 word profile of Caitlin Clark. Like, it wasn't quite a book, but it also wasn't quite a story that is a basic profile. Like, it was this in-depth look at the person of Caitlin Clark and how the legend is born, and how she really does have that Kobe Bryant it factor to it, which is just kind of interesting to think about, of that like insane mindset of, why should I be the teammate when everyone else is not putting in the same work as me, when I don't have the same goals as everyone else? And yet over 4 years, she's figured out how to make Iowa and I believe at one point they called them the Caitlinettes, how to make that whole team dynamic work and build an offense around those people, and her making the passes to people in timely moments and building trust and rapport with teammates, and Caitlin going through some not quite therapy, but like working with a sports psychologist who ironically also happens to be named Ledbetter. No relation to this Ledbetter, at least as far as I'm aware on the gene lines, but Ledbetter, the psychologist who worked with Caitlin Clark, was really, there was a really interesting layer to that story, and Caitlin kind of becoming her own woman as she leaves home for the first time and kind of figuring out all the details of that through a pandemic and everything that was going on, because Caitlin is still a year younger than me, which is always funny for me to stop and think about, that Caitlin Clark graduated high school a year later than I graduated high school, which is always interesting to stop and think about. But this profile was super interesting. It gave some really insightful look into who is like the want to have it player more than any, I think, in college basketball. But Caitlin putting up 18 points in the first quarter of the championship game when Iowa had been to the championship game last year is so interesting to watch in real time. And knowing some of the context behind Caitlin and beyond the story itself was just really good and really interesting. And I'm going to link that story in the description of this episode. It'll take you longer to read it than it will be to listen to this podcast, but the story is just so good. And I wish I could read it for you here on the podcast, but granted, the second quarter has just started in the championship game. And I want to keep my eyes on the game as we go through this fun Take It Easy watch party. By the way, when Caitlin Clark was really out there cooking and putting up all of the points that she had early on in the game, Melissa Full-Wiley, who is, we talked last week when we were discussing how Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese will lead the way to Paige Beckers versus Juju Watkins being that duel in that battle of college basketball next year. And Melissa Full-Wiley, who's a freshman, she just signed with Steph Curry's brand. Melissa Full-Wiley has a chance to, as a freshman at South Carolina, has a chance to 3 years from now be that person who is the focal point of South Carolina. And for the past 3 to 4 years, South Carolina has been great at bringing in players through the transfer portal, changing over rosters as entire teams go to the WNBA or go to play professionally overseas, and then bring in new players who compete for the same positions. It's been really interesting to watch in real time South Carolina work that, and now they have that true blue chip number one prospect in Melissa Full-Wiley, who when Iowa went up 20-9 early in this game, Melissa Full-Wiley came in and scored a real quick 6 points, brought it at one point back within a 2-point game. They went on a 9-0 run to cut it to 20-18 before Iowa hit a couple buckets, or I guess Caitlin hit a couple buckets right before the end of the quarter. But it's interesting to see freshman Melissa Full-Wiley with this team of mostly transfer players, with Bree Hall and Camilla Cardoso and people who are going to play in the W next year and are the best of the best transfers from across the country, to see Melissa Full-Wiley come in and be the person to steady the ship as they took the first punch from Caitlin Clark, I thought was super interesting because of all the stars, Tessa Johnson and everyone playing for South Carolina as Tessa Johnson hits a jump shot right now. It's interesting to see Melissa Full-Wiley come off the bench and be the person who is putting up buckets early for South Carolina and kind of steadying the ship as South Carolina. Tessa Johnson just hit another basket, so there you go. Tessa Johnson comes in, and now South Carolina's cut it back to 3 all of a sudden, and Caitlin Clark does not have a bucket in the first quarter. Or I'm sorry, in the first 2 minutes of said second quarter. All right. We fast forward to halftime, and it was just flip the script all the way over at the end of halftime. You got South Carolina putting up 29 piece in the quarter. South Carolina has 22 points off the bench. The Iowa Hawkeyes, 0 points off the bench. Which, honestly, Iowa's been fine so far. Like, Kate Martin got 9. Hannah Stolke got 9. They were just fine early on in the first half. But I just think it's funny to think they were up 7 early on in the game. when we hit pause, they got a couple buckets from Tessa Johnson right out the start of the quarter. And then you had bucket after bucket after bucket from Fagan and Johnson and Pow Pow. They were just going one after the other, hitting buckets. We talked about Melissa Fulwiley off the bench. She still is only at 7, so she didn't have another basket. Also, she took 9 shots in the first half, which was kind of surprising. Didn't feel like she was shooting the ball that much, but only hit the 3 right off the bat at the end of the first quarter, and nothing else for Melissa Fulwiley. South Carolina's winning right now. They held Caitlin Clark to 3 points in the quarter. Like I said, Kate Martin and Hannah Stolke kind of got it going in the quarter, but for the most part, Iowa didn't have it, man. Iowa didn't have it early on in the quarter. And this is the thing that I also think is really interesting about South Carolina. And we talked a little bit earlier about South Carolina has a lot of transfer players coming in, or players who weren't on the team last year that lost to Caitlin Clark in Iowa, and they came back and they had another undefeated season. They haven't lost a regular season game in like 730 days. But the thing that I thought was so interesting about this one was that Cardoso is one of those players who, in the middle of an offense, can just completely shut down everything. And then Cardoso came out. They went to Saniya Fagan, who was playing big minutes in the second half. And she's 6'3", which is a little bit different than the 6'7" Cardoso. And so, like, as soon as Cardoso went out of the game, Iowa just started driving the paint inside. They got like an and one to Stolke coming out of a timeout. Caitlin got one to the rim that like stuck on the rim and fell out. Stolke had another one that got to the rim for a bucket. Like once Cardoso came out of the game, it's remarkable just how much of a presence she is inside. But it's also interesting that South Carolina goes 8 deep and is able to consist. I mean, they played 9 in the first half, but consistently going 8 deep, and all 8 players are able to impact the game regardless of who's on the floor. That's just something you don't see in college basketball because it's just so hard to accumulate that kind of depth. Beyond the Iowa of it all, which I know we joked earlier was Caitlin Clark and the Caitlinettes. That was the word and phrasing that was used by Wright Thompson, but like, Hannah Stolke's been very good this year. Kate Martin's been very good this year. Gabby Marshall, who is normally the second best player on that team, she got 0 points in the first half, which I thought was interesting. But it was just, Iowa is in this unique position, like most teams, where they have a singularly great player, and the singularly great player is surrounded by other very good players. South Carolina's in this unique position where they go 8 deep, and the 8 deep makes it really tough to defend them all the way around the floor. Because, like, Bree Hall, who might be their second best player on the team, she's going to be probably a top 10 pick in the W draft coming up next week. Like, Bree Hall took 1 shot and had 0 points in the first half, and it didn't matter because South Carolina was absolutely giving them work inside. Iowa had a total of 14 rebounds in the first half. South Carolina had 12 offensive rebounds in the first half. They had a total of 27 rebounds in the first half compared to 18 total for Iowa. I said 14 earlier. 14 was the defensive rebounds for Iowa. 27 to 18 rebounding. Second chance points in favor of South Carolina by 8. And South Carolina came back to take the lead. And it's just so interesting that Cardoso, like, not knowing all of the South Carolina players last year, because I remember when we did the full conversation about Iowa and South Carolina, the conversation was, Aaliyah Boston is this singularly great star who does not get the same love as Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and some of the players in college basketball. And then there was a whole race factor to it, because the NBA has not had a white American all-NBA player since 2014. People go a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs at times when it comes to these white basketball superstars, white athlete stars in general, but specifically with these white basketball stars. And this was already a case last year when it was Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston being, you know, Aaliyah Boston being lost to the background as this singularly great player who was helping to lead South Carolina with other WNBA draft picks to a perfect record. But what I didn't realize last year about South Carolina was that they went six deep, lost five of those six players, and still come back with an eight deep roster made up of mostly transfers and the singularly great freshman of Melissa Full-Wiley, who kind of acts as a roaming super sub off the bench. It's so interesting to see the depth of South Carolina in something that you just can't really do in college basketball. And, you know, it's Dawn Staley, we talked about the Dawn Staley machine and that being the thing that has taken over what Gino Auriemma used to have at UConn. And now that there's been a dispersal in the talent at in the talent pool, South Carolina has come back as previous defending national champs, team that went to the Final Four last year, turned over a roster of WNBA players that won a championship mostly as sophomores and juniors, made it back to the Final Four with an undefeated team the following year, and then replaced a bunch of those players and is now back up three at halftime in the championship game, holding Caitlin Clark to 3 points on one of three shooting in the second quarter. It's just been so interesting to watch in real time, and we'll have more breakdown as the game goes along here. But just watching South Carolina, one, be so defensively sound when Camilla Cardoso comes in, because college basketball, and you've watched this if you watch Zach Edey a little bit too, college basketball is still that place where you can toss the ball down and low and big person is going to post up and get buckets or get a layup inside. Like, when push came to shove, they could dump it down to Cardoso and Cardoso would get it, or off of misses, Camilla Cardoso would get four offensive rebounds, three of which led to put back baskets for South Carolina. And Cardoso's leading scorer with 11, and she's just so singularly important to that team. And I just didn't realize that Camilla Cardoso was out here being as singularly dominant as she could be against Hannah Stuhlke, who is, again, very good, but is also the only player on this entire Iowa team that is taller than 6'3". And that's just a bad equation when it comes to trying to guard against Camilla Cardoso, because I didn't realize they do not have a player taller than 6'3" on this entire active roster for Iowa. And honestly, at this point with Iowa's offense, like, maybe Caitlin goes on another heater, but against this South Carolina team that goes eight deep, I don't know if they can afford to just drop big person who tries to guard Camilla Cardoso, but it doesn't matter because she's 6 inches, I'm sorry, not 6 inches, 5 inches shorter than Camilla Cardoso anyways. So it doesn't matter putting in the backup. You just gotta put Stuhlke on her and see what's gonna happen. I'm so curious to see what's gonna happen here in the second half as we roll along with our women's Final Four watch party on the Take It Easy podcast. Woo! All right. Third quarter in the books. South Carolina in the lead by 9 points. Iowa only put up 13 total points in that third quarter. Another thing that I've noticed is interesting is that in women's college basketball with the 10-minute quarters and just college basketball in general with wild fluctuations in shot-making ability, these scores fluctuate wildly, man. Like, Iowa had, at one point in the Elite Eight round, they scored, in the Iowa-LSU game, LSU had 32 points at the end of the first quarter, and then I think they scored like 33 in the next two quarters combined. Iowa had 27 at the end of the first. Caitlin Clark had 18, which, by the way, they said on the broadcast, Final Four record for points in a quarter. Granted, they used to do halves, but Final Four record for points in a quarter. Caitlin Clark, 18. And then Iowa had 27. Now, in the next two quarters combined, Iowa has 32. Caitlin Clark has 7 points. Caitlin is 2 of 6 from 3-point. From the field is 3 of 15 or 16 in the time since. And it's been a tough run here. It's been a tough run recently for old Caitlin Clark and Iowa. Also, They're down by 9 right now, and the reason why they're down by 9 right now, because Tessa Johnson, Bree Hall, chucking and ducking three-pointers. There was one where Full Wiley grabbed the rebound, threw a full cross-court pass from the opposite wing of the three-point line to the corner of the opposite end of the floor. Tessa got it, buried a three-pointer. It was awesome. Bree Hall had a chuck and duck three-pointer over Caitlin Clark, where Caitlin went to help real briefly, and she shot it super high, like a super high-arcing three-pointer over Caitlin's contest, buried it. It was awesome. We are picking the game up with 8 minutes left to play in the fourth quarter. South Carolina 72, Iowa 61. We're just going to keep it here and roll along with you here till the end of the game. And we are absolutely allowed to do this because it is a podcast and we're not disseminating. And Cardoso, offensive rebound, another bucket. What's Camilla at now? 5 offensive rebounds, 12 total. 4 of the 5 offensive rebounds have led to putback buckets for South Carolina. South Carolina chucking and ducking three-pointers in the last quarter helped get them back up to a, well, it was a 9-point lead. Now it's a 13-point lead at this point. Iowa's at the free throw line, so they're about to cut into that lead just a little bit. But 6 deep for Iowa at this point, 9 deep for South Carolina. South Carolina's gotten contributions from pretty much everyone up to this point in the game. Bree Hall, I mentioned, hit the chuck and duck three. She had all 5 points in the quarter after having 0 at halftime. Cardoso being Cardoso out here balling out. Kitts has a double-digit scoring game. And we mentioned all the bench points for South Carolina. Tessa Johnson, freshman, she got 17. Melissa Full Wiley, 7 points off the, 9 points off the bench because she just hit a bucket right now. 9 points off the bench for Full Wiley. Bench points for South Carolina, which is Johnson, Full Wiley, Fagan, and Ashlyn Watkins. Combined, they got 34 points off the bench. Iowa still sitting at 0. Actually, let me look this up real quick. So let's do some quick math. So far, the South Carolina bench, Cardoso is coming out too, by the way, so that'll be interesting to note. Because last time Cardoso came out, Iowa just started getting right to the rim. But 34 points off the bench for South Carolina. What do the non-Caitlin Clark players have for Iowa right now? So it's after these 2 free throws, it's going to be 64 minus 27, that's 37. 37 points for the non-Caitlin Clark Iowa starters. 34 points off the bench for South Carolina. And that's before you add in Camilla Cardoso, Chloe Kitts, Pow Pow, and Bree Hall chucking and ducking three-pointers to put them up in the game. Ooh, nice job. Full Wiley just broke up a full court pass by Caitlin Clark and knocked it out of bounds. The pass was a little offline, though. I don't think it would have led her right to the rim, but still, Full Wiley broke it up. That was pretty good. South Carolina up by 12 late in the game. Let's see. Gabby Marshall finally hit a shot. Let's see where they go here. Oh, Caitlin coming off the screen. Step back. Bucket. Nothing but net. Holy shit, that was cool. Caitlin came off the screen and was going to take the shot in transition, kind of held up. Oh, there you go. Blocked by South Carolina, or by Iowa. Iowa got it back. 1-score game. Caitlin, pull up from the logo. Oh, missed it. Oh, that would have been so cool. Oh, Gabby got the rebound, though. Bucket. Okay, Iowa another 3-pointer. There you go. 6-point game, just like that. 6-point game, just like that. I was trying to say the last play, Caitlin coming off the screen, was looking to pull up, cut it back, across to the left, step back, hit a shot, nothing but net. Pretty freaking baller. Let's see right here. Bree Hall's got it. Oh, missed it. Okay, Iowa can cut it to 3. Oh, tipped it away. Oh, they got the turnover. No foul? Nope, no foul. Okay, South Carolina got the turnover right back. Oh, man. Okay. So South Carolina's got it. 6-point game. Let's see what we got here. Foul. Foul on Caitlin. Yeah, foul on Caitlin. Man. Man, what were we saying all game? Camilla Cardoso, offensive rebound, put back basket. She had 5 offensive rebounds, leading to 5 South Carolina baskets. The last sequence of her getting a block, offensive rebound, put back bucket, put South Carolina up by 8. Caitlin Clark just went right down the floor and chucked up a 3 that ended up falling no good. And that just about does it. South Carolina, national champions of college basketball 2024. Undefeated national champs of college basketball 2024. Man, they didn't have the momentum at the end. It didn't have the crazy battle between two, back and forth, one shot to win the game. Caitlin Clark coming down against maybe Bree Hall taking the shot for South Carolina. Honestly, South Carolina could have had like 7 different people take the shot because Raven Johnson was, they were just leaving Raven open at the end of the game, and she missed like 3 shots down the stretch, and it didn't matter because Raven missed it. Cardoso, rebound, put back. Ashlyn Watkins, offensive rebound, put back. Kate Martin got hit with a foul that may or may not have been a foul for wrapping the arm at the end of the game. Man, it was a tough break for Iowa because they kind of like ran out of gas at the end, and Caitlin only had 12 points in the last 3 quarters of the game, which is going to sting in hindsight, but that was the offense they ran, man. Caitlin took 28 shots, and they got 0 points off the bench. Like, their path to victory was going to be playing defense against South Carolina, and they did some of it, but ultimately South Carolina shot 42% from the 3-point line. Then you factor in the 7 Camilla Cardoso offensive rebounds that led to 5 baskets. She finished with 15 and 17. The broadcast, I thought, did Cardoso a little bit of a disservice at the end. And granted that she's a transfer player to South Carolina, she is the best player on a South Carolina team that, as we mentioned, went about 8 deep at the end of the game. But Cardoso really got lost in the shuffle at the end of this game, and I felt like that did a disservice to her and the production that she put forward, because Cardoso's story is excellent. Coming from Brazil to the United States at 15 years old, she ends up playing college basketball at Syracuse for 3 seasons. Or I'm sorry, plays at Syracuse for 1 season, ends up going to South Carolina as a backup, doesn't really get that much run as a starter at South Carolina, but as a backup last year was giving them some minutes, was part of the national championship team in 2022, but ended up only having like 5 points a game, and then this year came out and finally put it all together. And I thought Cardoso's story was super interesting, and she got some of the praise at the end of the game, but I thought the broadcast tried to do the Caitlin Clark wrap-up in defeat early on enough that it gave leeway to South Carolina. Like, once Caitlin went out of the game, that was when they kind of did the conclusion of that's the end of Caitlin Clark and we're not really going to talk about Iowa anymore. It became about South Carolina and them winning the championship. But I felt like the celebration of Caitlin at the end kind of did a disservice to Cardoso. And granted, Caitlin's obviously the superstar of the sport and all that stuff, and they wanted to do a traditional send-off for someone who has been transformative of the game. But Cardoso, who's going to be a top pick in the WNBA draft, best player on that team that won the championship and was really the fundamental reason why South Carolina pulled away at the end of the game, I thought Cardoso didn't get the love. And granted, they're doing post-game interviews right now. I saw Dawn Staley crying, and Aaliyah Boston, love Aaliyah Boston, but I gotta say, Aaliyah Boston being at the center of Dawn Staley's post-game crying hug, like her picking up Dawn as Dawn was collapsing to the floor in emotion, I thought Aaliyah, kind of a weird spot for her to be there considering she was in a full dress and like doing TV for the broadcast, which, by the way, awesome. Love Gen Z getting their first broadcasting job. Have it be Aaliyah Boston on the podium for the Final Four. Excellent decision. Love Gen Z getting into these broadcasting positions early and often, especially because Aaliyah has the unique perspective of being on the national champion 2022 South Carolina team, national player of the year on the undefeated team that lost to Iowa last year. Oh, and by the way, Aaliyah Boston's about to be teammates with Caitlin Clark on the Indiana Fever, and that team is going to be so awesome in the W. But shout out to Gen Z getting broadcasting jobs. Also a little weird that Aaliyah Boston is the one celebrating with, picking up Dawn Staley as Dawn is crying on the floor is kind of that moment of coronation for her career, because this is a gigantic moment in the career of Dawn Staley. You have Cardoso kind of being a secondary figure at the end of the game, which I thought was fine because they were doing this whole Caitlin Clark tribute, and Rebecca Lobo saying no one in a broad perspective has ever contributed more to the game than Caitlin Clark. And then Ryan Rucco jumps in and is like, oh, and Camilla Cardoso checks out for the last time in her final collegiate basketball game, and now we're going to run out the clock. And I thought that was an interesting choice at the end of the game. But altogether, man, it's just freaking cool to see South Carolina win the championship. I felt like from the very beginning, South Carolina was going to run roughshod through the women's tournament. At the start of the tournament, I could name you about four or five of these South Carolina players, with Cardoso and Bree Hall and Melissa Full-Wiley being the freshman who's going to take the sport by storm. Tessa Johnson being a freshie, as Dawn Staley called it, her being a freshie who's going to be back at South Carolina most likely. So now with her putting up the most points of any South Carolina player in a championship game as a freshman, her playing the most minutes of any player besides Raven Johnson and Camilla Cardoso, both of whom I believe, no, Raven's still going to be back next year. So at least third most minutes on the team off the bench, 19 points, led the team in scoring. Tessa Johnson now being the freshman whose name people are going to remember, at least people who like watching college basketball are going to remember going into next year, with Melissa Full-Wiley and with Ashlyn Watkins. Super awesome that South Carolina ended up getting that championship, and super awesome that Dawn Staley gets her third championship. Want nothing but good things for Dawn Staley, because Dawn Staley perpetually the epitome of a leader. Like, Dawn Staley checks the boxes on leadership, and I want to be careful with what I say on this, because I've also said some things about some people who have proven to be not the case. But Dawn Staley, not only as a head coach, is three-time national champion, genuinely enjoys working with young people from the perspectives that I've heard. And if you know her story from, like, Hall of Fame basketball player to then getting into the coaching ranks and figuring everything out, like, just awesome to see her having success and building up the machine that she had at a program that really has no birthright to success in college basketball. Like, South Carolina has no reason to be this. And Dawn Staley has built up a machine of a program that really has no birthright to college basketball championships. Like, this isn't a traditional power by any stretch of the imagination. But granted, when we're talking about the history of women's college basketball, the only traditional powers are UConn and Tennessee. And UConn is, we made the Final Four, and Geno's still going strong, but Geno's been around a while, man, and it's starting to age him a little bit. Obviously, Tennessee hasn't made it past the Sweet 16. They just fired a coach and hired Marshall's head coach in what I think is their third or fourth coach post-Pat Summitt. So, in a sport where UConn and Tennessee, and maybe you could talk about Baylor and Kim Mulkey's run, are the only traditional powers of the sport, it's cool to see South Carolina, a program with no real birthright or destiny to be good at women's college basketball, now winning three championships in 6 years, 2 and 3. Dawn Staley's got a bit of a machine, multiple number one picks, now a couple freshmen whose names we're going to know and are going to continue to grow the game as they come back for a national championship next year. Add on to that story, which is just the icing on the cake, last year Dawn Staley wanting to bring up the point that says, we have a program of predominantly black women led by a black woman head coach, and we are not getting the proper attention as a program who would be an undefeated defending national champion deserve to get. And even throughout this run, even as it became apparently clear that South Carolina was going to be in this championship game, South Carolina was more involved in the conversation this year, but in the aftermath of Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark taking the sports world by storm in that championship game, South Carolina got lost to the recesses of history. And if South Carolina beat Iowa in that semifinal game, I think it changes a lot of the ways that we talk about Caitlin Clark and this Iowa team, because we wouldn't have had last year's championship game of Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark to build off of, the narrative story that got people interested in college basketball and set multiple viewership records for women's college basketball. The semifinal between Iowa and LSU, the quarterfinal between Iowa and LSU set the record for most watched women's sporting event in the world for 4 days until that record was broken by Iowa versus UConn in the semifinal game. And a lot of what we talk about around Caitlin Clark doesn't happen without beating that undefeated South Carolina team last year in the semifinal. So last year and into this year, Dawn Staley's out here talking about, hey, black female representation in women's sports is going to be lost to the wayside unless we're vocal about it. And I love Dawn Staley for doing that and for bringing that to the forefront. Add into the fact that the headline that I see going across the news the day before the defining moment of her coaching career. It is, we are going to win a third championship, the fourth coach to ever win three championships. We're going to have an undefeated champion, something that has only been done by four coaches ever. It was Texas in the 1980s. It was Pat Summitt's Vols in 98. It was Baylor in 2012. And it was Gino Auriemma like six different times at UConn. The day before her crowning achievement of being the fourth coach to ever put together three championships in a career, to have the first undefeated national champion in nearly 6 years, and only the fifth coach to ever have an undefeated national champion team. The day before that game, you got headlines all over the internet of Dawn Staley saying, I believe that transgender athletes should be allowed to play in women's sports. And that does so much, even if it feels like it's a small gesture. It does so much for Dawn Staley saying out loud and having the headline be there, women's sports are for transgender female identifying athletes. And that is a huge deal, because the winning argument for the anti-trans movement is that they have one issue that people tend to agree upon. The one issue that people tend to agree on is, I don't know whether women who are male by birth, transgender women, should be allowed to play in female sports. It's never a conversation of transgender women playing in male sports. It's transgender women being allowed to play in women's sports. And because you have that singular winning argument that a majority of people at the very least don't feel strongly in the direction of saying out loud, I believe that transgender women should be allowed to play in women's sports, you have a winning argument that can then be used to prop. If you have this winning argument of denying trans people rights, you can use that as a blanket statement to then pass legislation that says, we are banning transgender sports in our state of, let's call it Utah, because I know Utah was a state that got crushed with this recently. We are passing legislation making it so that, like the people want, transgender athletes cannot participate in women's sports. And also, we're going to slide in the back end of that deal, we're also going to deny access to healthcare for transgender people. We're going to hold up this one point of people agreeing with the blanket statement of should not be allowed to play in sports to then pass anti-trans legislation on the basis of that law. And that is a hugely important point to continue to acknowledge, is that sports is at the center of the anti-trans movement, because the trans athletes playing in the sport, not of their assigned sex by birth, but by the gender that they identify by, has been something that has been a issue that is a winning argument for people who are anti-transgender people and want to deny transgender people rights. That has been a winning argument that can then be used to blanket a whole bunch of other anti-trans legislation. And so it is really important for people to say out loud, transgender women should be allowed to play in women's sports, period. And Dawn Staley saying that right before the moment of her ultimate championship moment makes me love Dawn Staley even more than I already love Dawn Staley. So shout out to you for being on the right side of history at the moment of your penultimate moment of the pinnacle of your career. Dawn Staley is using that platform to speak on the anti-trans movement, and that does so much because that's the story that comes up when you type in Dawn Staley, and Dawn Staley putting voice to that is something that is more important than the championship. So hell yeah to you, Dawn Staley. Keep putting black women up on a pedestal. Keep advocating for transgender rights, especially as it comes to sports, because that issue as it relates to sports is so incredibly important. And keep winning championships with Camilla Cardoso and Bree Hall and Raven Johnson and Pow Pow and Ashlyn Watkins and Fagan and the super freshman of Full Wiley and Tessa Johnson, who I'm sure will come back and start kicking ass next year as the starting backcourt at South Carolina. Keep on doing your thing and keep on leading South Carolina to more success. I love the South Carolina program so much. Nothing but good things to Dawn Staley and South Carolina as they walk away undefeated national champions. And I know the conversation is going to revolve a whole bunch around Caitlin Clark, and we deserve to show some love to South Carolina, Dawn Staley, and the national champions for the third time, second in 3 years, third in 7 years, national champion South Carolina Gamecocks. Take it easy, everybody.